الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. How to call towards goodness. Attar's prayer. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the 18-page booklet, How to call towards goodness, make them soft-hearted, well-spoken, and forgive them without accountability along with their parents. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of sending salat upon the Prophet, Allah's final Prophet, our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, whoever sends 100 salat upon me has freedom from hypocrisy and hellfire, written between their eyes by Allah on the day of judgment. Allah shall keep them with the martyrs. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Whoever does not enjoin good does not follow the Prophet's way. The companion Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma explains how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Those who do not display mercy to our young or honor our elders, nor enjoin good or forbid evil, they are not from us. Scholars and the public alike must call towards goodness. Commenting on nor enjoin good or forbid evil, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes, every person must cultivate the practice of Islamic rulings amongst people as per their capability and knowledge. This is obligatory not only for scholars but everybody. A ruler must physically prevent evils, and a scholar must fulfill this obligation by preaching. This is ignored in the present age to a very large extent. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The prophetic way of calling towards goodness. The companion Anas radiyallahu anhu explains, we were once in the masjid with Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when a Bedouin then came and began urinating while standing inside. The companions radiyallahu anhum shouted, wait, stop. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, do not stop him, leave him be. They fell silent until the Bedouin finished. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then called him and said, in a kind and gentle manner, these masjids are not for urine and filth. They are only for the zikr of Allah, salah, and recitation of the Qur'an. He then ordered for somebody to bring water. A bucket of water was brought and poured over the area urinated upon by the Bedouin, calling towards goodness in gentle fashion. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes in commentary of this hadith, do bear in mind, although the impure ground becomes pure upon drying, provided the effects of impurity are removed, washing it is greatly more advantageous. This quickly removes the colour and smell of impurity, besides rendering tayammum permissible with it. This hadith does not mean an impure section of ground cannot become pure without washing. Along with being kept pure, masjids should also be cleaned, and both purity and cleanliness is attained via washing. This hadith also clarifies how a preacher should go about preaching with good character, soft-heartedness and gentleness. Medical problems caused by suddenly stopping urination. Dear Islamic brothers, when someone is urinating, one should not startle or scare them such that they stop. To stop urinating abruptly due to fear or other reason may cause immense psychological harms, which sometimes can even outweigh the harm caused by a snake's venom. Stopping urination suddenly may cause episodes of insanity, phases of unconsciousness, and fatal kidney-related diseases. Urinating while standing is not sunnah. Dear Islamic brothers, the above-mentioned narration mentions urinating when standing. It is not sunnah to do this. Ummul Mu'mineen, Lady Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, said, if any of you says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would relieve himself while standing, then do not consider them truthful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam always sat for this. Problems caused by urinating while standing. Sadly, standing to urinate has become commonplace nowadays. Certain places, especially airports, have special arrangements for urinating in a standing position. Urination in this way not only causes one to miss a sunnah, but also leads to medical problems. Medical research explains how urinating in a standing position may cause the gland of the bladder to swell and to expand, which can result in pain during urination. Difficulty passing urine easily, passing urine in small drop-by-drop quantities, or even being unable to pass urine at all. Some of those urinating in a standing position button up or zip up their trousers without washing or clearing the urinary organ, causing the drops of urine to fall over their thighs, etc. Those making their body impure in this way without a valid reason become sinners and risk medical complications. Dr. John Millen was a European doctor who said, some patients come to me with complaints about allergies upon their buttocks and surrounding areas, rashes upon their thighs, skin falling away from below their navels, and wounds appearing upon their private parts. Most of them catch these diseases by not protecting their bodies from urine. Punishment for not protecting one's body from urine. The companion, Abi Bakra radiallahu anhu, explained, I was walking with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as he held my hand. On his left side was another individual. We then came across two graves. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, these two are being punished and not due to a substantial matter. Which of you can bring me a small branch? We rushed to get ahead of one another. I came ahead, took hold of a small branch and brought it back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam split it into two, placed one branch on each grave and said, as long as these remain fresh, their punishment shall be lessened. And it is backbiting and not protecting themselves from urine that led to them being punished. The Prophet's knowledge of the unseen. Dear Islamic brothers, you can see how backbiting or not saving ourselves from droplets of urine coming upon our bodies can cause punishment in the grave. We cannot bear being pricked by a thorn, nor can we withstand the heat of a hot day or a slight fever. How then can we possibly withstand being severely punished in our graves? O Allah, we repent from not protecting ourselves from urine properly, and we repent from backbiting, tale-telling, and all other forms of sin. We ask you to be eternally pleased with us and to forgive us without accountability. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith also shows how Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has knowledge of the unseen given to him by Allah. Due to this, he could see the two people being punished in their graves. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh penned a couplet about this subject in his poetry, the summary of which is as follows. O Messenger of Allah, you see from the Arsh and what is past it, to the earth and what lays beneath. There is nothing in the universe except it was made visible to you. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. When an alcoholic changed his ways. Dear Islamic brothers, gentleness can do what harshness cannot. In terms of preachers and callers to Islam, they must be softer than silk and cooler in temperament than ice. It is extremely difficult to reform somebody with rebuke or insult. In Ihya al-Ulum, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi narrates how Muhammad bin Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi has stated, I once went to meet Shaykh Abdullah bin Muhammad bin Aisha after Maghrib Salah, he headed home. And on the way, he saw a young Qurayshi man heavily intoxicated and holding onto a woman. She began to scream, causing people to rush to her rescue and begin attacking the young man. He recognized who the young man was, freed him from the people's clutches, hugged him, took him to his home and ensured he fell asleep. Upon awakening, he was no longer drunk, yet memories of his drunken wrongdoings and the hatred shown to him by people flooded back to him, causing him to cry. The Shaykh stopped him as he began to depart, and with great gentleness called the youngster to mend his ways. Son, he exclaimed, you belong to the Qurayshi family. Your household is honourable. I kindly ask you to contemplate regarding sacred personality you descend from. I ask you to fear Allah and repent from both drinking and other sins. Full of remorse and regret, the young man was inspired by this affection. He tearfully repented of his sins and vowed to never drink or draw near to any other sin. The Shaykh kissed his forehead sympathetically and encouraged him greatly. Highly impressed, the young man began spending his time with the Shaykh and was eventually assigned the honour of writing hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. An intention of murder. Dear Islamic brothers, a way to rid ourselves of sin, develop the mindset of offering salah regularly, act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, grow our love for him in our hearts, attain a home in Jannatul Firdaus, and protect ourselves from the fire of hell, is to always stay in Dawat-e-Islami's Islamic environment. Make a routine of travelling with sunnah-inspired Madani qafilas and act upon the pious deeds booklet throughout the day. Here is a story to help encourage the listener regarding this. During a Madani qafila, a Dawat-e-Islami preacher was privileged to deliver a sunnah-inspired speech in a masjid before Jumu'ah Salah. Upon concluding, he encouraged the Islamic brothers there to seek spiritual cures for their problems. At Asr time, a person came to him and began explaining his sad story. Just a while ago, this person went abroad for work and indulged in a host of illegal activities. In his absence, somebody leveled false accusations at his wife, which resulted in her committing suicide. He lost his mind upon hearing this and immediately came home. Provoked by Satan and his nafs, he had decided to kill the person who accused his wife and commit suicide. Despite being fully prepared for this, he came to the masjid for Jumu'ah and managed to hear the preacher's speech. He expressed how listening to the latter talk about contacting Dawat-e-Islami's spiritual cures department for solutions to one's problems had encouraged and comforted him greatly. This is why he approached the preacher to discuss a calm, rational, and effective way of solving his problem instead of murder and suicide. The preacher explained how this initially caused him panic, but keeping Allah and His Messenger in mind, he took guidance from three written speeches published by Maktabatul Madina. These were named Cure for Anger, Excellence in Forgiving and Tolerance, and Suicide is Not the Answer. This discussion with the person lasted around an hour. This left indelible impression upon the person, who proceeded to change his intention, saving two people from losing their lives. He repented tearfully and became a murid of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, along with his young children. He also acquired amulets for the protection of his home and blessing in his business. When encouraged him to travel with the Madani Qafila, he said with a shaking voice and with tears in his eyes, "Insha'Allah, I will now spend my entire life performing the Islamic activities of Dawat-e Islami." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Preachers should deliver speech on Jumu'ah. Dear Islamic brothers, this highlights how blessed the Sunnah-inspired speech of Jumu'ah is. All responsible Islamic brothers of Dawat-e Islami should arrange for different preachers to deliver Sunnah-inspiring speeches on Jumu'ah, wherever possible. On occasion, many brothers come to offer Jumu'ah Salah who do not usually attend any type of Islamic gathering. By virtue of these speeches, Dawat-e Islami's positive Islamic message can reach them. Many will feel the impact of this on their hearts, and many will repent of their sins and begin offering Salah, insha'Allah. With loving effort and kindness, they will then travel in Madani Qafilas and become epitomes of the Sunnah. A heedless person with no care for his own life was inspired to repent and not take the life of his fellow Muslim simply due to one of these speeches. Three suicides in every 2 minutes. Regretfully, suicide is very widespread these days. One of its biggest causes is not having Islamic knowledge. There is a growing amount of this occurring in young men and women especially. Having said this, you perhaps have never heard of a student of Islamic knowledge committing suicide. The same applies for scholars of Islam or pious people who follow Islamic law. In the book Discourses of Attar, the following can be found. Sadly, suicide rates are constantly growing in our beloved country of Pakistan due to abundance of sins and a lack of knowledge regarding the hereafter. Newspaper reports explain how 68 suicides occurred in Pakistan in August 2004, with Karachi at the top of the list in terms of cities, followed by Multan. The same research explains how one suicide is committed every 40 seconds in the world. Does suicide resolve the problem? Those who commit suicide perhaps assume that they will get rid of their troubles by doing so. In fact, if Allah is displeased with such a person, then the person shall be engulfed by unimaginable torment. By Allah, nobody can bear the punishment that comes with suicide. Punishment in fire. A hadith declares, whoever commits suicide with something shall be punished in hellfire with the very same thing. Punishment with the very same weapon. The companion Thabit bin Dahhak radiallahu anhu narrates of how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, He who committed suicide with an iron weapon shall be punished in hellfire with it. Punishment of strangling. The companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, he who commits self-strangulation shall continue to strangle himself in hellfire, and he who strikes a spear into himself shall continue to do so in hellfire. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Empty satchel. The fourth caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, said, the heart that does not consider good as good and evil as evil, its uppermost part shall be turned upside down, the way a satchel is turned over. When this happens, everything inside the satchel is scattered. Blindness and turning over of the heart. Dear Islamic brothers, if the heart of a person denies good to be good and evil to be evil, then this may cause devastation for him. We should always refrain from sins and beg Allah for qalbi salim, a rightly guided and upright heart. Otherwise, you have just heard a quote, Sayyiduna Ali, regarding the ruin of the heart. Remember, due to sins, the heart first turns blind and then upside down, which is extremely detrimental to one's hereafter. In Malfuzati Ala Hazrat, there are three different things: the nafs, soul, and heart. The soul is like a king, while the nafs and heart are its two advisors. The nafs inclines to evil, whereas the heart calls towards good for as long as it is pure. Mu'adh Allah, the heart is blinded by abundant sin, especially those involving misleading innovations. It is then no longer capable to observe, comprehend, contemplate the truth. Yet it can still listen to it. Mu'adh Allah, it is eventually overturned and becomes incapable of either listening to or observing the truth. It is then left empty and deserted. Qalb, a heart, does not actually imply an organ of the human body. In this context, in fact, it is a latifa ghaybiyya that has its origin in the heart at the left side of the chest. The abode of the nafs is below the navel. This is why followers of the Shafi'i school fold their hands upon on their chests in salah, so the evil thoughts of the nafs do not reach their hearts, whilst Hanafis fold theirs under their navels. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. No forgiveness. The companion Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates, continue to enjoin good and prevent people from evil. Otherwise, a cruel king will be made to rule over you, who will not be kind to your younger ones. Then your righteous shall make dua, yet it will not be accepted. They will seek forgiveness, but it will not be granted. Not preventing evil leads to severe consequences. The first caliph of Islam, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, once said, O people, do you recite this verse? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O you who believe, be vigilant concerning your lives. The misguided one will do you no harm when you are upon guidance. You may have assumed the deviation of deviance is not harmful to you, and you do not need to prevent them from this, as you are rightly guided. I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say, if people see evil and do not change it, then Allah shall soon inflict them with his punishment. In commentary of this hadith and in discussion of the previously mentioned verse, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan writes, some had assumed there is no need to fulfill the obligation of Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar, enjoining good and preventing evil. They thought one should only work for their own reformation, as the sins and wrongdoings of others will not harm them. Removing this misconception, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr made the following point as clear as day via hadith. People will be punished if they see something evil but do nothing to change it. Another narration shows that changing or preventing evil is linked with capability. In other words, if people do not change the evil despite being capable enough to do, they too will be punished. Commenting on this verse, Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes, Muslims used to be sad at the deprivation of the disbelievers. They would feel grief over the fact disbelievers, due to their hatred, were deprived of the wealth of Islam. Allah reassured the Muslims by explaining how the disbelief of the non-Muslims will cause Muslims no harm, as the latter were released from their responsibility upon fulfilling the obligation of Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar, i.e. enjoining good and preventing evil. The saint Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi said, this verse greatly stresses this obligation, being careful about one's own reform implies that you should inquire after each other, persuade one another to do good deeds and prevent evil. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.